Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll continue with the division of Israel as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 9, verse 23. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
And the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon, an audience with him, to that they might hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, raiments and harnesses and spices, horses, mules, at a rate year by year. And Solomon had 4,000 stalls for the horses. Up in Megiddo, there's a lot of stalls that they believe go back to Solomon's times. Chariots, 12,000 horsemen, who he bestowed in the chariot cities with the king at Jerusalem. And he reigned over all the kings from the river, even unto the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. And the king made silver in Jerusalem as common as stones. Cedar trees were as common as the sycamore trees that are in the low plains. And they brought unto Solomon horses out of Egypt and out of all the lands. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite, and in the visions of Iddo the seer, against Jeroboam the son of Nebat? And Solomon reigned in Jerusalem for 40 years over all of Israel, and Solomon slept with his fathers, and he was buried in the city of David, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. Now, in the book of Chronicles, it doesn't tell us of Solomon's apostasy in his later years, how that his wives turned his heart away from God. It does not tell us of his worship in the pagan temples that he had built. That is told us in the book of Kings. And these other books that are referred to, we do not have. It would be fascinating if we could have a little more of the history of Solomon. Surely an illustrious character, but the thing that gets me, here was a man endowed with so much wisdom. This guy wrote, what was it, 3,000 proverbs and 1,000 songs? Now, have you ever tried to write a proverb? I mean, that's not easy. This guy was wise. With all of this wisdom, with all of the endowment of God upon his life, a man who had had a vital confrontation with God, a man who had been blessed by God beyond our imaginations. How is it that a man with this wisdom and with these blessings could turn his back upon the Lord in his later years? Because somehow he felt he was above the commandments of God. Somehow he felt that they didn't apply to him. Somehow he felt that he could disobey God and get by with it. But he found that God was wiser than he. And those things which God declared did come to pass. And though he thought he could beat it, he couldn't. We're not nearly as wise as Solomon, but unfortunately we are as foolish many times in thinking that we can somehow go against the Word of God and still come out on top. We're always thinking that we are some kind of an exception to the rule, that we can violate the commandment and get by with it. But the Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you sow to your flesh, then of your flesh you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, then of the Spirit you're going to reap life everlasting." God is faithful to his word. God has promised the blessings that he will bestow upon you if you will submit your life to the lordship of Jesus Christ. God will forgive you your sins. He will blot out your past. God will give to you eternal life, and he promises to you that you will be with him in the glory of his eternal kingdom, in the joys and the blessings of that eternal kingdom of God, if you will just walk in fellowship with him through Jesus Christ. But God has also warned that if you forsake him, that if you walk after your own ways, if you live after the flesh, if you walk in impertinence to his commandments, that one day his judgment will come and you will know the wrath of God. God says that concerning individuals, and thus we need to take it to heart. God also speaks to nations. And in the prayer of Solomon, Solomon was praying for a national thing, and God answered in the national aspect, if the nation will serve me and follow me, then I'll bless the nation and prosper. But if they turn from me, then calamities will come. And what applied to Israel applies to the United States. And surely, even as Israel, born in the Spirit, its early days of inception were days of glory, the blessing and the power of God. Yet in the later years, they turned their back and felt that they could live independent of God. And we see our nation following that same path of disaster. And we already see warning signs by God in our nation, the social upheaval, the pestilences that have come, the problems of the economy, the national debt, and so many things are symptomatic of the fact that our nation is turned away from God and is worshiping other gods. But God is faithful, and that we need to really be concerned about, because what God has said he will do in judgment, he will surely do to this nation if we continue this path away from him. But if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. That's you, that's me. It starts with us. It starts individually. We can't say, oh, would to God that the whole nation would turn to God. Would to God that we would turn to God. It starts with me. I can't decry the national apostasy. If I am apostate myself, I cannot say, oh, would to God that everyone would start praying if I'm not praying myself. It starts with me. It starts with you. If my people called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and we cannot decry the national apostasy unless we ourselves have committed our lives to seeking God and waiting upon him for revival. God help us. Help us to rise to the challenge. At the time when Israel ultimately failed, God spoke to the prophet Ezekiel, who was warning them at that very moment. And God said, I sought for a man among them who would stand in the gap and fill in the hedge, and I found none, and therefore their judgment came. I believe today God is seeking men and women who will stand in this gap, who will pray. Because God is not willing that any should perish, and God does not delight in judgment. He delights in mercy. But we've got to give him the excuse or the reason to exercise his mercy by seeking him. Time has come when we've got to get serious before God. Or else there's no hope for our nation. During the latter end of Solomon's reign, there was a little dissension brewing because of Solomon's heavy taxation. You remember he built the temple, he built his palace, he built the city of Jerusalem, fortified the walls, and all of these took a lot of labor, a lot of money. And Solomon had made slaves, in a sense, out of all of the strangers dwelling in the land. It took a lot of money to support this kind of a labor force, and the taxes were pretty heavy. There was a young man from Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, who was very popular, and he was a man of valor. And Solomon saw in him a threat. And so he fled from Solomon to Egypt. His name was Jeroboam. Now at the death of Solomon, this dissension still existed, and it was probably because of this dissension that Rehoboam went to the city of Shechem, which was more or less the major city at that time of the tribe of Ephraim. It is today called Nablus. It is an ancient city. It existed at the time of Jacob when he came into the land. And he sojourned in the area of Shechem for a time. But Rehoboam went to Shechem probably just to reinforce his reign over the northern kingdom. And the people came from the northern kingdom to more or less give their loyalty to him as king. So all of Israel had come to make him king. Now it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whether he had fled from the presence of Solomon, when he heard it, that Solomon was dead, Jeroboam returned out of the land of Egypt, and he sent and called, and they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease somewhat the grievous servitude of your father and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve you." And he said, "Come again after 3 days." So the people departed. So Jeroboam led this emissary of people from the northern tribes to ask for a relief from some of the heavy burdens, the heavy taxation that had been placed upon them by Solomon. And it says, King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, "What counsel do you give me to return an answer to these people?" And they spoke to him and said, "If you are kind to these people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever." But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and he took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him. And he said unto them, "What advice do you give me that we may return an answer to these people, which have spoken to me, saying, ease somewhat the yoke that your father put on us?" And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, "Thus shall you answer the people that spoke unto you, saying, that your father made their yoke heavy, but you're going to make it, but they're asking you to make it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, I with scorpions." So, diverse counsel. The older men saying, "Yield a bit. Their cause is right. Just show kindness to them, they'll serve you forever." the younger guy is saying, hang tough. If you give in here, they're just going to be back for something else later. So just hang tough. Interesting. He sought counsel of the old men. He sought counsel of the young men. But it says nothing of his seeking counsel of the Lord. Now, the whole tact of David, his grandfather, was to seek the Lord and to seek the counsel of the Lord. So already we see signs of spiritual deterioration in this fellow Rehoboam. Seeking only the counsel from men, not seeking the counsel of God in the matter. He took the counsel of the young men. So on the third day, Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam, as the king had said, and the king answered them roughly. And King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old man. He answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy. I'm going to add thereto. My father chastised you with whips, but I with scorpions. So the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was of God, that the Lord might perform his word, which he spake by the hand of Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. The father of Rehoboam in the book of Proverbs had written, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Too bad Rehoboam didn't listen to his dad or take heed to that which his dad had written. When Solomon was still king and Jeroboam was a rising star in the northern portion of the kingdom, which sort of created the jealousy with Solomon, a prophet by the name of Ahijah took hold of Jeroboam's coat. And the prophet ripped the coat into 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, as he gave him 10 of the pieces, that God was going to make him a ruler over 10 of the tribes. For David's sake, he was going to reserve 2 tribes that would be ruled by David's seed, Benjamin and Judah. But the Lord was going to give unto Jeroboam 10 of the tribes. And he prophesied to him that if he would walk in the way of the Lord would establish his dynasty over the northern kingdom, even as he established David over the southern kingdom. And so the reference here to Ahijah the Shilonite, the prophecy that he had given to him, the Lord is performing the word now of this prophecy. And when all of Israel saw that the king would not hearken to them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. And now, David, see to your own house. And so all of Israel went to their tents. So there was a general desertion of the northern tribes, the 10 of them, away from the house of David, away from Rehoboam. But as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. And then the king sent Hadoram, that was over the tribute, he was the tax collector, to the children of Israel, and they stoned him with stones that he died. But King Rehoboam made speed to get in his chariot and to flee to Jerusalem, and Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And so the tragic results of the folly of not seeking the Lord was the division of the nation of Israel. And now you have the northern 10 tribes, which will from this point be referred to as Israel, and the 2 southern tribes that will be referred to as Judah.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as Pastor Chuck Smith continues to guide us verse by verse through the entire Bible. and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD, and phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's closing prayer.
Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will challenge each of our hearts with our own personal involvement in seeking thee through prayer, through fasting, that we might see, O God, thy work among our nation, the turning again of the hearts of the people back to God. Lord, we see the tremendous influence of television. It seems, Lord, like there are giants in the land, and they are so strong, and they are so powerful, and they are so deeply entrenched that our hearts often just fail, and we're cowed into a lethargic do-nothingness. But, O Lord, may we rise up like men, and may we begin to bombard the citadels of darkness. And through prayer, may we tear down the strongholds of the enemy. And may we see, Lord, the triumph of thy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Have you ever seen a person who was once enslaved to an addictive lifestyle, and then all of a sudden they came to know Jesus as their Savior, and they're like a different person? They're happy, they're excited about life, they've become transformed. If you or someone you know has an addiction, whether it be to drugs or alcohol, even prescription drugs, an eating disorder, or a problem with gambling or pornography, I'd like to recommend this year's One Step to Freedom Conference on DVD entitled High Time. Hear guest speakers Mike McIntosh, Jerry Brown, Tommy Cota, and testimonies by Ebo Elder and Hannah Parks.
I can only imagine what this guy's face was just like, wow, you set me free. And Jesus just smiling down at this man as he's been set free.
To order a copy of this year's conference for a friend or loved one, call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.